praise the Lord where you stand. Amen. Let's turn to Psalms 99. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great and high. He is high above all the people. Let them praise thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. The king's strength also loveth judgment. Thou dost establish equity. Thou executest judgment and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt ye the Lord our God and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among them that call upon his name. They called unto the Lord, and he answered them. He spake unto them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance that he gave them. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God. Thou wast a God that forgavest them. Though thou tookest vengeance on their inventions, exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Almighty God, Father, we humble our hearts before you because of your holiness, because of your righteousness, Lord, and because you first loved us. Father, we're so grateful, Lord, again that you've allowed us to come to this place that we may all in one accord worship you and praise you, Lord. Father, for you are the object of our adoration. And Father, with all of our hearts, Lord God, we want to minister to you in song and worship and praise and thanksgiving and amens, Lord, as your word would go forth. Father, we ask that you would rain down upon us, Lord God, with your spirit this day. Anoint Brother Willie in a special way as he prepares to bring the message, O God. Anoint our hearts and our ears, Lord God, to hear your truth as it goes forth. Father, we ask, O God, that you would be with our brothers and sisters, Lord, that are off in Arizona and all across the lands, Lord God. Bless your people where they are. Move in their presence. Father God, that we may all make ourselves ready, Lord. We're ready to go home. We want to see you, Lord. Father, we come to prepare our hearts for the day that you would call us to answer on high. Help us now, Lord. Bless our gathering in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen.
All the
one more time. I exalt thee. Consuming fire. Hallelujah. Consuming fire. Sweet perfume. Your awesome presence fills this room. This is holy ground. This is holy. Give our Lord hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's certainly good to be back out in the house of the Lord. Amen. It's always good to be in His presence. Amen. This little song just came across my heart. Everybody say amen. Everybody say yeah. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Yeah. Come on, cheer and say. Come on, children, say amen. Come on, children, say amen. Amen. Amen.
sovereignty. Oh, do you love him? Say, amen. 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 Will you praise him? Say, oh, Lord. Will you praise him? Say, will you praise him? Say, amen, amen, amen. Do you love him? Say, hallelujah. Will you serve him? Say, amen. Do you believe him? Say, amen, amen, amen. The Bible's true, so say. And I believe it, say. 'Cause it's the word of God, eh? Amen, amen. Amen. Everybody say, amen. Everybody say, everybody say, amen. Amen. Say some glad morning when this life is over. Fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. Come on, help me sing. Oh, I'm gonna fly away. Oh, glory, I'm gonna fly away. Well, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Come on, help me sing. Well, when the shadows of this life have grown, fly away. Well, like a bird, prison bars have flown. I'll fly away. Oh, I'm gonna fly away. Oh, glory, I'm gonna fly away. Well, I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. I'm not looking for it. Well, I'm gonna fly away. Oh, we're not looking for a grave in this age. Hey, man, I'll not die. Well, I'll not die. Hallelujah, bye, bye. Hey, man, give me that third verse. No more cold iron shackles on my feet. Hallelujah, fly away. Come on, help me sing. Oh, I'm gonna fly away. Oh, glory, I'm gonna fly away. In the morning, I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. Oh, well,
I'm gonna fly away. Oh, glory. I'm in the morning. I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. Ah, come on, one more time. I'll fly away. I'm gonna fly away. Oh, glory. I'll fly away in the morning. I'll not die. Hallelujah, by and by. I'll fly away. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We shall be changed. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I'm not preparing for death. I died over 20 years ago. Amen. I'm living. I'm looking for a change. That's my next step, is a change. Hallelujah. We don't come to church to die. We come to live. We're going to feast on a living word. Amen. You are what you eat. Praise the Lord. Amen. You all may have your seats. We have some specials this morning. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Jordan.
I'm in a happy to be in the house of the Lord. I'm sorry. We're trying to, we ain't have a chance to practice. Amen. Y'all pray for this first time singing this song, and I don't have all the words, but we're going to give it a shot. Amen. I tell you what, we just love the Lord this morning. Amen. You know, sometimes we go through a lot of different things in our life, and as we go through this journey, amen. But one thing we have to make sure that we just have to let go and let God. And we turn it all over to Jesus. And no matter what it is, no matter how hard it seems, no matter how impossible the trial may seem, God's got everything in control.
struggle from day to day. I have to realize it's not my battle. It's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in His hands that everything will be all right. As soon as I stop worrying, looking at back then, when I let go and I let God, I let God have His way. Let go, let God, I let go and let God, let go.
You know, we heard a testimony on last week. We went over to the Boynton Church, and young brother was giving his testimony. And when he gave his testimony, he was expressing himself on how he was at a prayer meet, and he had never really come to a realization of being filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And during that prayer meeting, he said, God gave him the formula. He said, if you want to know the formula, the equation of how we get to that point, he said, this is the formula. He said, let go and let God. He said, when he was able to understand and let God, he said, the power of the Holy Ghost came over him. And he was a changed person at that point. At a prayer meeting, my brothers and sisters, he just had to let go. A lot of times we're hanging on to our own thing. We're hanging on to the past. The devil is beating us up. Used to be. And we're hanging on to those things. But I believe if we can just this morning let go. Let go of everything. And say, God, I'm in your hands. I believe we'll be blessed. Amen. Do you believe it?
Amen. Is that your heart's desire this morning? Amen. Let God have His way. When you let go, you finally get out of God's way. Amen. Then He has His way. God bless you, Brother Troy. We certainly appreciate it. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise the Lord. Sister Michelle, will you come? Praise the Lord.
create in me a clean heart and purify me. Lord, purify me. Create in me clean heart so I may worship thee. Create in me a clean heart. Purify me, Lord, purify me. Create in me a clean
songs go together. Amen. If you let go and let God, then he can do the work. Amen. Praise the Lord. We want to thank the Lord for our visitors today. Brother Amazar Muhammad, God bless you. Good to have you in the house of the Lord. I might mess your name up, sister. But Brother Christopher, I can get that. Sister Farida, God bless you both. It's good to have you both in the house of the Lord. Amen. One from Trinidad and one from Canada. God bless you. It's good to have you here. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't have a service on Friday. Amen. So if you come here, nobody be here. Praise the Lord. No service Friday. We have the youth service November 17th at 7 p.m. We have the upcoming meetings, annual singles meeting, Eagles Temple. Brother Bernard will be preaching in Miami. That's today at 6:30. Also, House of Fellowship meetings in Sarasota, December 7th through the 8th. A picnic on December 8th. Please sign up for the picnic. We have a sheet right out here on the wall. So it's on the announcement board, so you can sign up if you desire to go. They need a head count, so we want to go ahead and fill that out. Amen. Praise the Lord. We don't have any written requests, but we have a lot of brothers and sisters that's not here. We want to pray for them this morning. We want to pray for one another always. Amen. Stand in battle. Amen. We'd like to ask the brothers to come at this time. We'll take up this morning's tithing and offering. Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, that we are alive and well this day because of your grace. Father, we want to pray for our brothers and sisters that cannot make it here this morning, Lord, for whatever reason. Those that are, Lord, visiting other churches, Lord, we ask that you would pour out your spirit afresh where they are. But those who are struggling, Lord God, with where they stand, Father, we pray for them, Lord. May the Holy Ghost go to them where they are, Lord, and deal with their hearts and lives, Lord. Turn them around, Lord, when the enemy seems to be overcoming them, Lord. May that overcoming power that's within them rise up. For those, Lord, who are sick and afflicted that couldn't make it because the enemy has touched their bodies, Lord. We're asking, oh God, that you would intervene. Father, you've already healed them, Lord, when you took those stripes upon your back. Father, they just need the revelation of it. We just ask, oh God, that you pour out your revelation abundantly. Increase their faith, Lord. We place our faith with them, asking that you would touch their bodies. Lord, you know our heart's desires, Lord, and we commit those to you. And Father, as we give unto thee our tithing and our offering, Lord, we want to praise you and thank you, Lord God, for blessing us, not just financially, Lord, but with our health, our spiritual walk, Lord, every aspect of our lives, Lord, your hand is upon us to bless. And we're so grateful, Lord. Father, as we continue to wait for your coming, help us to make ready, Lord, for that hour. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you. Bless now the tithing and offering in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. When the music fades and all is swept away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Hallelujah. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. Say, I'm coming back, I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about, it's all about. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may hear. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You may have your seats. We have one more special.
another day, another fight. It always feels like an uphill climb. Another step, another mile, the story of your life. It's harder than you ever thought, and it costs you everything you got. But when you're back against the wall and you feel like giving up, this is only a mountain. You don't have to fight your way around it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Tell it to fall, it'll fall. You gotta find your second wind. It's not as high as you think it is. Don't give up and don't you quit. You gotta climb if you wanna win, yeah. And I know it looks big, and I know you feel small, but just a little bit of faith can change it all, change it all. This is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall. Don't have to let your fear control it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. Ask like you believe it. Trust like you can see it. Take your fear and say, there's nothing in your way, no. Even when it looks big, even when you feel small, just a little bit of faith can change it all. This is only a mountain. You don't have to find your way around it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. This is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall. To find your way around it, just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. Oh, this is only a moment. You don't have to let your fear control it. Just tell it to move, it'll move. Just tell it to fall, it'll fall. It's only a mountain. Yes, it's only a mountain. It's only a mountain.
Everybody say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You can stand to your feet. Amen. It's only a mountain. Amen. No matter what you're facing. Amen. We're going to invite Brother Willie to come at this time. Climbed into the highest mountain, looked all around, couldn't find nobody. I went down into the deepest valley, looked all around, down there, couldn't find nobody. Across the deep blue sea, couldn't find none to compare to your grace, your love, and mercy. nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Oh, said I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I looked high and low, still couldn't find nobody. Come on, help me sing. Nobody greater.
Searched all over, I searched all over, couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low, still couldn't find nobody, nobody greater, hallelujah, nobody greater than you. Hallelujah, nobody greater, nobody greater than you. That's your testimony. I searched all over, hallelujah, I searched all over, yes, couldn't find nobody. I searched high and low, still couldn't find nobody, nobody greater, no. Nobody greater, nobody greater than you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Nobody greater than you. Amen, 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 amen. How many happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm kind of reminded of the scripture when the angel called, who is worthy to come and take the book and to loose the seals. And John was looking around, and John began to weep because no man was worthy. You know, no man was worthy. And you know, immediately though, his crying stopped because there was a worthy one. Amen. And aren't you glad for that one this morning? You know, we worship a lot of things. We worship cars and clothes. We worship, you know, we worship men and we idolize men. But you know what? Nobody was worthy to take the book. Is that right? And to loose the seals thereof. But the worthy one. And that's Christ Jesus Almighty. Amen. Let us just bow our heads for a word of prayer this morning. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just come this morning to give thanks and praise. We thank you this morning because you are worthy. You were worthy. You are worthy. And we didn't come to worship creation, but the Creator. We come to look to you. We come to worship. We realize, according to the prophet, we was created to worship you. We were in your mind before the foundations of the world, and because of that, we're here, Lord God, not looking to a man. We're looking to Jesus Christ. We trust that, Father, that you'll bless Brother Roosevelt this morning back home. Bless the saints out in Arizona, and Brother Jack and the different ones, and continue to be with them and protect them and bring them home safely. And Lord, we're here this morning to feed upon life. So we trust that folks didn't come to see a man, to hear from a man. We pray that you take control of human instrumentality and say something that'll be edifying this morning. And we'll be so careful to give you the praise, glory, and honor for it. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name, amen, amen, amen. Let's get our Bibles out this morning. It's good to be here once again.
It's always good to be able to come and to fellowship with Spirit and Truth Tabernacle. We're going to be looking in the book of Philippians this morning. Just remember your pastor, Brother Jack, and all of the saints that went out to Arizona. We had the invite, but things didn't work out for us to go. So he asked me what I fill in, and I'm always grateful for the opportunity to be able to come and to try to share something that'll be edifying to this portion of the body of Jesus Christ. Just pray for our little assembly in Okeechobee this morning. Trust that God will use Brother Roosevelt. But it's always good to be here. I always enjoy my time of fellowship with you all, and it's just good to see all of the smiling faces. Y'all are smiling, aren't y'all? Amen. It's always good to see my friend in the back, Brother Garen. I don't think he was here the last time I came, but God made a way. He's always on our heart, you know. I like that song Becca sung. It's just a mountain. It's all it is. I think what happens is we fail to realize who we are a lot of times and what's been given. You know, one of the things I like, the prophet, he talks about Jesus Christ being a master of circumstances. One day we're going to learn how to master our circumstances by the word. Until then, we're going to be constantly up and down and defeated. But one day we're going to get a complete revelation of who we actually are in Christ Jesus and what's been given to us, right? Until then, we're going to be up and down. We're going to be a yo-yo. But once we learn who we are, we're going to stop all of that. And I'm not worried. Is that right? Let us look in the scriptures this morning. We want to start at the first verse, Philippians chapter 1. It says, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, in as much as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifested in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confidence by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the words without fear. So indeed preach Christ, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. You may be seated. We want to use as a topic the effects of a righteous life, and as a context, the response of the Christian life. One of the things we realize, true Christianity is based upon more than just being excited. You know, people think that they're Christian because they run around church, and that you know, they feel goosebumps and things of that nature. But first and foremost, it's something that you can't get away from. You must be born again.
Yeah.
Is that right? I think the new birth is the foundation on the pyramid. Is that right? You got to be born again. You can't venture up with first without being born again. Amen. I believe that, you know, it character is a big part of this thing. And I think sometimes we approach Christianity, I think, a lot of times, but we approach it by lack of understanding. I think the manifestation of the character of Jesus Christ is the important thing for me. Is that right? I enjoy being excited. Y'all know me. I like to worship. I like to praise God. Every now and then, I even like to shout. But I realize, you know, it's something that's beyond that, because we've seen that. We've seen people excited, and we've seen people run around the church and things of that nature, and then we've seen people totally disappear. Right? Y'all come on and have church with me. We've seen people totally disappear. We've heard people say, well, I believe God sent a prophet and things of that nature, and then, you know, their whole confession begins to change. And this is why Jesus said it's so important that a person is born again. He said, verily, verily, you must be born again. And it's not anything that you could get around. It's something that must take place. There's got to be a change that takes place in you. Because without that, you'll never be able to understand the kingdom of God. You'll never really understand the word of God. You might have some intellectual conception. You might, by being smart, can read and understand, maybe, be able to quote back. But you'll never really be able to understand, amen, the things of God without being born again. So, you know, that's important for the church of the living God. I think that's a part of a Christendom that we could never get away from. You must be born again. Every individual, no matter how good you look, how good you smell this morning, you got to be born again. Y'all ought to preach with me this morning. You can't get around it, right? Everything hinges on your new birth experience. We're going to go somewhere. I'm not going to bother y'all too much this morning. But I'm just trying to get self out of the way so the Holy Ghost can do some winning this morning. But it's important, from the youngest to the oldest. You go nowhere without being born again. It takes the life of Christ, right? Amen. It takes the life of Christ. See, it's, you know, I realize something. It's just not me. It's the working of Christ in me. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Is that right? Amen. Because if it's me, boy, I do some crazy stuff. If it's me, I'll say some crazy things. Right? If it's just me, my emotions are you know, up and down. But it's Christ in the church. Right? The acts of the Holy Spirit wasn't just a group of men. Right? It was Christ in the church operating through men. And that's what it's got to be, amen, in the hour that we're living in. Is that right? It's Christ in the church doing the work, right? Living the life. See, that when that revelation breaks, it does away with our struggle, right? Because we think that we got to be good and we got to be. No, you get the life of Christ, and Christ are maturing you. And the things that you thought were not possible will be possible. The things that you thought you wouldn't be able to overcome, you'll find yourself overcoming. See, people struggle to try to make themselves a Christian. You are a Christian when the life of Christ We know Brother Branham taught on the progression, the three stages, right? But you don't want to stop at justification or sanctification. You want to go all the way into Christ. So many people stop short. Well, I believe Jesus. You just justified. You need to be sanctified and filled. Right? And then, amen, grow up in God. Right? Grow up in God. Find your place, right? In Christ. Here Paul was writing to the Philippians church, and I do things a little bit differently. God builds a minister, and we all ain't the same, and I trust that y'all don't think that I'm gonna preach like Brother Jack. That's my brother-in-law, but I'm different. I look different. I'm tall. He's short. I'm big. He's a little small. You know, and we see things just a little bit differently. And you know, we sometimes I find people we want to put everybody in a box, and we want to clone everybody to a certain individual. I often tell my church that'll be messed up. If everybody around the world was a Brother Smiley, Lord have mercy. Could you imagine? You get tired of me everywhere you look. Every man that came to the pulpit dressed like me, act like me. Lord have mercy. Glory to God. But God's a God of variety. I thank God for the diversity, right? But Paul here, he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, we know Paul and Silas had this great experience in the Philippian jail. They had a revival. circumstances surrounding them. They were in jail and just faced with nobody wants to go to jail. If you ever been to jail, you know you don't never want to go back if you're in your right mind. You know, I did a few days in the bygone days, and I realized that's no place that I ever want to go back to. But, you know, Even in the midst of that, Paul found himself in this place because of the gospel's sakes. Is that right? Not because he was a bad individual or he was robbing or stealing, but for the sake of the gospel. But I like Paul's mindset. Paul had a revelation that, you know, he was commissioned by God to take the word to the Gentile church. And you know, the mysteries was given. We know he was the messenger of the age and things of that nature. And you know, the message was taking him against the grain. It takes you against the theology of the day. And this is a lot of reason why we have backlash a lot of times, right? Amen. Because it's against the grain. When everything else is going one way, the word of God that's been given in this hour is taking us in a total different direction. Amen. Is that right? Amen. Amen. And I appreciate that, because what it has done for me, it has opened up my understanding to things that, you know, I probably would not understand if I was in any nominal church. Right? Amen. Because what we gotta understand, it's giving us rapture and faith and rapture and grace, right? It's showing us things that we really would not understand outside of coming in contact with the seventh angel. Is that right? Amen. And he said, I preach what Paul preached. Is that right? Amen. And so, you know, Paul here, we find Paul was in prison. And you know, unlike most people, when we face with circumstances, the first thing we start doing is complaining and belly aching and poor me and why me? Huh? If anybody had a reason to feel sorry for themselves, it should have been Paul. But you know what Paul did in the midst of adversity? He started singing. Huh? He started like, look, it is what it is. And he realized we're here, amen. You know what, God? One thing we get into a little stupor, but we fail to realize God allows us to go through things for the sake of the gospel, yes, right? God knew that, amen. It was needful for Paul and Silas to be in prison because he had a predestinated seed there. Exactly right. Huh? Y'all ought to preach with me this morning. Paul got to singing and worshiping, and boy, it caused the prison walls to begin to shake. Amen. The prison doors begin to come open. Men begin to, amen, be set free. And I believe they were set free not just naturally, but spiritually. God was showing himself mighty in the midst of Paul and Silas's life. Amen. Men could have ran, but Paul said, wait a minute, don't y'all go anywhere. Don't you go anywhere. Could you imagine being the jailer, right? Having to keep all these folk, and now here it is, they free. That's enough to change a man's heart. Hallelujah. That's enough. Oh, my God, I'm going to lose my life. But not realizing, you know, predestination is a powerful term. The prophet said it's not skim milk. Right? It's not skim milk, even during his time. And even if you study even some of the commentarians, when they talk about predestination in the book of Ephesians, they have the same mind that even the prophet had, right? How profound the book of Ephesians is. And how really profound being predestinated really is, right? To think that God, before the foundation of the world, could look at you and know, right? No. See, we ain't here by chance, right? We're not here this morning by chance, right? You're not believing, amen, this message by chance. This is the foreknowledge of God. Yes, it is, right? God foreknew you in this age. Knew you would be here this time. Knew that I would be here this time. Even when I was messed up on the streets. Even when I was messed up on drugs and crack and all of that. God predestinated me to be here. Right? Knew even before I, you know, even thought about preaching, all I wanted to do was get myself straight. God had a greater plan for my life. Right? Hallelujah. You know, God had a plan and a purpose for allowing Paul to go behind the prison walls. Right? Amen. And because of it, folk got converted. Right? They saw not a man. See, we messed up. Sometimes we get so caught up looking at a man and a personality. We make men great. And the greatest man that ever walked the earth, they came up to him and said, good master. You see, where are y'all getting that from? Huh? There's nothing good about me. Only thing good is in the Father. And that's the same way I feel when we try to make men something. We make men great. We make men big. Men ain't big. Because no man could redeem himself. No man could take the book. Right? The big man took the book. The big man is living in you and I. Glory to God. And outside of that, you know, I like the prophet. He said, you know, real big men make themselves small. But he says it's the ones with a suit of clothes, a little bit of money in the bank, right? They try to make themselves something. He says the nature of man. He said, you know, they try to make themselves small for a minute, for a season. And then they start getting too low, and they start trying to work themselves back up. Right? But he said a real big man will make you feel like you something and you somebody. Right? Hey, man, I like that. That feels good to me. That sounds good. See? A real big man, right? Brother Branham, he talks about coming in contact with men of status, right? Men with position, men with power, men with money, right? But he said a real big man will make you feel like you somebody. Not mass you down. Not put you down. But to lift you up. A real big man will lift you up. Pull you up by your bootstraps. You can make it. You'll be all right. Huh? That's a real big man. When ministry really understands what ministry is all about, amen, we'll stop lifting ourselves up and lifting up God's people. Right? I'm going to leave that alone. I ain't finna get in trouble this morning. I'm just a guest. You know, I say that kind of stuff for when I go home, right? But it's the truth anyhow. Church, I'm going to tell you something. I've been around a little while now, about 30 years, and I see things, and I just like, Lord, help us, right? Not that I'm smarter than anybody else, but, you know, I just believe the word. Amen. But here Paul come in contact with the Philippians, and brought forth conversions, and the folks saw something in Paul, in Paul's message. They were willing to make an eternal investment into the kingdom of God. They became partners with Paul in the work. Man, I want to say something. See, as a minister, any shepherd, they can't do anything outside of partnership. You have got to become partners in ministry, right? Because it's not a one-man show, right? No one man can build a ministry, right? Without the people. See, if all y'all leave here, what you got? Just Brother Jack. Right? You all are what partner with him, investing in the ministry because of what you see. Right? What you know that's eternal, what you sense is coming from God. You partner. Right? You partner. See? These individuals saw the power of the Holy Spirit at work in a life, and they partnered, right? Now I want to stop a minute. See, the life of Christ has got to be the right kind of life, has got to be the right kind of motives, the right type of objectives, right? We got to talk a certain way. Y'all ought to preach with me, right? We got to live a certain kind of life. Right? It's no way around it. See, no hypocrisy, none of that. No put on. No try to, you know, be what you ain't. Be what you are. Don't try to be impress people. Be who you are and what you are to God. Because I'm going to get to it if I can. Because Paul began to tell the church, he said, he that begun a good work in you. Right? Now, the work that's been started this morning is good. Yeah. It's a good work. Yeah. Right? No matter where you at, no matter what season you in, the work that God has started this morning in you is good. Yeah. Right? You may not be where your brother is. You may not be where your sister at. Right? But the work is good because God only does good things. Y'all going to make me preach up in here this morning. Right? The work is good. God don't do halfway stuff. You look back to Genesis to see chapter of the Bible. Everything he done was perfect. It was good. No flaws. Huh? You know, sometimes I was telling the church Thursday night, I say, you know, we're living in an age where men are dissecting the Bible and bringing in all of these different things, and the word and the term that they're using is being inclusive. Huh? Being inclusive. See, because they're trying to bring in all of these foul spirits, right, into the church and God. And then they take scripture. Same thing that the devil did back in Genesis. Now the devil know how to quote the Bible, right? He ain't just going to give you all error. He going to give you a certain amount of truth. And then he's going to slip a little something in on you. And they say, well, you know, God is love. And we gotta just love everybody. God is love, and we do have to love everybody, but we don't have to put up with foolishness. That's the truth. We do not have to accept, right? People say, well, I was made like this. No, you got just a devil on you, right? Because God don't, the seed of God is perfect. See, that is why the seed had to be restored. Come on, we needed a restoration in order to produce the kind of church that God is looking for. The Omega church has got to be like the Alpha church. In order to produce that, it had to be a restoration of the seed. That's why he preached spoken word as the original seed, to try to show smart men what his ministry was all about. Right? Come on. See? If we got to get back, we had to get back to the Bible in order to produce a Bible church. Right? Because a denominational seed can only produce after his kind, right? And see, you look at the nominal world now, it's this, that term is there, inclusive. We want the homosexuals to come in and be relaxed, right? We want all of these folk not realizing scripturally from Genesis, God separate. He say, boy, I put enmity between thy seed and serpent seed, right? He told Abraham, when he dealt with him, right, in Genesis, he says, man, separate yourself. See, the word of God always called for a total separation of all unbelief. Always. Right? He told him, look, man, when y'all cross over into the land, which is a promise that I've given you, man, don't let your sons, don't let your daughters, be separated. Be different. Right? Be different. See, but we want inclusive. And then we say love. But see, what people don't realize, God is a God of love, but he is also a God of judgment too. He look, church, he judged the Sodomites. I'm going to get off of this in a minute, but y'all pray for me. He judged the Sodomites. See, don't look at just one aspect. Now we taking hell out the Bible. Ain't no such thing as hell. If God said, amen, such thing as hell, who is a man to come and say it's no such thing as hell? See, but, you know, people not spiritual, they get on the bandwagon of all of these things, but not realizing the word says you got to come back to the Bible. Right? Come on, church. Yeah. Amen. Regardless of emotions and sensations, you got to come back to the Bible. Back to Pentecost. Back to the Word of God. And look, these ain't just good things that the prophet, he was trying to show us something. Amen. Right? Amen. He said people err because they don't know the Bible. Right? They don't know scripture. But see, these brethren, they made an internal investment, right? Amen. Watch the life of Christ. See? These things is written for an example for us. See, we have got to be able to look in the scripture, right, and see God on display. Right? What's the characteristics of God in a vessel? Right? How God responds to things scripturally. How the church of the living God, what's their action? Right? What's right? Come on, preach with me, somebody. What's right? Y'all just hold on. You might have to go back and get the tape and listen to it again. But what's right? See? Because, you know, there's a right way and a wrong way. Right? Glory to God. And you want to know what's right. As a Christian, how do I supposed to live? What's my action? Right? See, we're gonna see an action and a response. Their actions from their experience with Paul and their conversion with Paul caused them to make an eternal investment in the kingdom building. Right? I'm gonna stop on that a minute. Because you find people talk about kingdom building, but they're talking about a lot of times earthly something. And Jesus, they tried to make him a king and things of that. He said, man, if my kingdom was of this world, my people would fight. But a lot of times you find smart men take terminology, but they're only concerned about an earthly kingdom. Something that you know, that could sit on an earthly throne. See? Amen. Take a position here and get accolades and praise. Right? Look what I've done. Look what I've built. And when you do that, you're finna get yourself in trouble. Because look at Moses. The minute Moses got in the flesh, God said, okay, you the big man, right? This all about you, right? Okay, you come on up here. Let me show you something, mister. Huh? When he got mad at the children of God, when God told him to go speak to the rock, and he went in the flesh and smote the rock a second time, you bunch of rebels. See, we got to watch ourselves. You bunch of rebels. Do I got to? You better watch. Do I got to? Huh? God said, I believe God was like, ah. He didn't say that, did he? No, here. Moses, come here. Moses, come. Come on up here. I need to talk with you for a minute. Did I hear that right? You? When you first started out in ministry, you couldn't speak. Y'all don't talk to me. I'm feeling good now. You couldn't speak. You couldn't talk. You didn't want to go. Huh? You, man, I'm illiterate. I'm too small. And now you've gotten to a position and you're a place. Now is should you mean to tell me what happened? Oh, I feel good now. See. What happened to the man that couldn't speak? Come on. See, we got to watch things. We got to watch spirits. What happened to the man that was subtle? What happened to the man that had 5 church members? Huh? You know what happens a lot of times? We get elevated. You're seeing it all over the message now. Well, we making songs after preachers. We bowing to people doing all kinds. And then we wonder why the outside world sometimes look in and say, Lord, there's a lot of crazy there. Mm-hmm. See? The emphasis supposed to be on Christ. Yes, the word. And not a man. See? Those early Christians invested, right, amen, in Christ, in the work, in the word, not anything fleshly, not anything earthly, right? And here Paul was in prison and writing to the Philippians church, right? And he was saying, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Look at the response. Look at the Christian character, right? Y'all keep following me, right? Look at the life of Christ and Paul. Paul said, I'm thankful, right? Paul was gracious, right, for the partnership, for the support, right? People aren't highly grateful anymore. We have more folk. Let me tell you something, right? We have more now than we've ever had in all of our lives. The history of folk, right? Let me say this. How many of us ever, you know, we don't, most of us young Americans, at least my age, we don't know nothing about no outhouse. I've seen them overseas somewhere. Man, I ain't never experienced that. Come on. Man, when I was raised up, my folk had bathrooms in the house. My mama know about that. I don't know nothing about that. Man, that folk a little bit older than me probably know that. And if you're from another country, you probably know that. You know, I went to Jamaica. I remember one time, you know, Brother Branham preached on a broken sister. And I went to Jamaica, and I firsthand, I'm like, oh, that's a sister. I knew exactly what it was. Huh? Bugs, a screen, bugs all on top. It's like, Lord, I can't drink that. I ain't built for that. Go get me some water from somewhere. We have more. Man, let's think about it. Some of us got 2-3 cars in our yard. We got air conditioning. That's a luxury. Huh? I'm telling you, things that we take for granted, right, is a real luxury. But we as Christians, we should be thankful for the least little thing. Amen. Huh? From the young to the old. Well, you watch, you know, it's important for us to train up our children right. We spoil them, and they be so unappreciative. That's all they gave me. It's all I got. Tirade kicking. When I was coming through, if you went on a tirade, my mama would be right behind you like the Tasmanian devil. Y'all know what I'm talking about, right, Laura? Y'all know Mother Tillman didn't play the radio. Man, we were little soldiers, boy. But, you know, the reason why you see a lot of what we see in society, people aren't grateful. People aren't thankful. People don't have the kind of respect, right? And I ain't even talking about a lot of times out there. I'm talking about even in the church, right? In the church. But Paul says, man, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for what you guys have, because you guys have made it possible for me to work, for me to accomplish things. The small gestures. Look, nothing ain't too small. Right? Because look at Jesus with the woman with the little 2 mites. Right? He ain't trying to stop her. Even the prophet of God, he you know, one time he wanted to stop the woman. He's like, you know, don't do that. You don't take nobody's blessing. He looked in the scripture and saw where Jesus didn't stop that woman from giving her last. Because you can't outgive God. Amen. Huh? Man, I kind of grew up in the Baptist church a little bit. They just saying the more you give, the more he'll give you to you. No matter how hard you try, you cannot outgive God. God won't let you beat him. Huh? You give $2, he'll give it back $5, $10. Huh? God, like, why you can't outgive me? I got too much resource. Huh? How many believe that? Glory to his wonderful name. Because, you know, he says, you know, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Look at Paul's response, right? What was he responding to, right? The character of God displayed by the church, right? Yeah, I got a holy hush going on right there. Because that's what it is. What causes you to do what you do? In the flesh, a lot of times, we wouldn't do it. When the pastor talk about giving, oh, Lord, it get quiet. Huh? Sometimes at home, you start talking about money, you could feel the wall go up. Like, oh, my. Y'all were just amening and glorying to God. Now I said M-O-N-E-Y, and it's like, ooh, Jesus. Start grabbing your pockets and pocketbooks. And But Paul was like, and look at his remembrance, right? I'm going somewhere. Look at his remembrance of the church, right? His response was positive. It was something of joy, right? And that's the way it's supposed to be. When people come in contact with the church of the living God, their memories of the church should be positive.
Yes,
sir. Amen. Huh? You know, I'm reminded of the story of they bought the woman that they say was caught in adultery. Y'all know the story. They brought her to Jesus, and a bunch of hypocrites wanted her stoned. They were trying to get Jesus to break the word of God. Right? Come on. Because, you know, you can't commit adultery on your own now. Come on, let's be real. Let's be real. She could not. It's like, okay, y'all brought her, but where the fella at? Huh? Where was the man at? Right? How could Jesus pass judgment without the man being there? But they was trying to be hypocritical. But Jesus was a master of circumstances. Right? Amen. And Jesus, you know, kind of, you know, had some discernment in his ministry. And Jesus went down on his knees and started writing in the dirt. And he made a real profound statement. He that without sin, please cast the first stone. Never did look up. I believe Jesus knew half of the men in this little thing. Them probably been with this woman. Huh? See? Never looked up. Never looked up. After a while, everybody started dropping the rocks, easing out. Huh? Making a mass exodus. When they were all gone, Jesus looked up. Say, woman, where your accusers? Well, don't look like I got none. Jesus said, wonderful. And I ain't here to accuse you. He said, go and don't sin no more. Right? Amen. See? And I could think about her response. Right? Amen. When she start remembering that day, she could have died. By the hands of a bunch of hypocrites, she could have been dead, sleeping in her grave. But she was brought into contact with the Son of Man. Right? And he was able to discern the situation and know the word of God. I believe when she got to thinking about Jesus, say, boy, what a mighty God. What a mighty man. What a great man. What an example. Right? An example of real Christianity and being responsible. See? We gotta be, as Christians, responsible. Because there's a responsibility that's been given to us. We're under a great commission. We got to know what we're here for. We got to know what we're doing. Because we don't want people, you know, because sometimes you find people testifying. Yeah, I was over to that church, and boy, let me tell you. See, their remembrance of that group, right, is not a folk not weren't effective in a positive way. It was negative. See, sometimes it's just the devil on people. Just got to call it like you see it, right? Sometimes the devil just want the minister to break the word to accommodate people. I'm not here to try to accommodate y'all. I'm trying to preach y'all into a body change. I'm trying to, you know, get something, you know, if anything in here, get it transformed, right? Come on, church. See, and it won't benefit anybody for me to compromise. Because if I compromise for this family, I got to compromise for that family. If I compromise for this person, I got to compromise for that person. And who are we helping? And then what we got is a gathering together of just a bunch of malice and envy and strife and hatred. And then none of those can be identified because he can only be identified by his characteristics. Come on now. That's it. I'm showing you something. See, it ain't just enough for us to come and smell good and look good and all of that. No, we got to manifest the life of Christ. It's imperative. It's not something that we could get around. See, that the outside world response. Look at the Alpha Church. They were called Christians because the people around them saw the life of Christ. God living in a group of people. Amen. Amen. Huh? Amen. They saw something that was alive, something that was real. Huh? Amen. Something that was genuine. See? And this is the thing. People want to come in contact. People are looking for something that's genuine. Huh? We need a whole lot of mother dears. Come on. Brother Branham hunted with this guy that was cruel-hearted and everything else. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize God allows us to come in contact with folks because God's going to ultimately do something. We got to be patient. We got to be understanding. See, you know what? Paul writes in the book of Philippians, we read it, God allowed these things for the furtherance of the gospel. And everything is not ill-willed. A lot of things actually meet in the purpose of God. We just don't see it. We just don't understand it. Because, you know, we want to live a Christian life, you know, like we on a picnic. Instead of that this is a war. Huh? I seen y'all on, you know, talking about the battle and war and running all around this place. But you got to keep that in mind when you come in contact and faced with a situation. Look, I am in a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual war. Amen. God, if you got me here, it's for a reason. Huh? Amen. If you brought me in contact with this person, Lord, I praise the Lord. Church, pray for me that the Lord will deliver me. How you know God don't want it? God wants you to be where you at. Because God wants to bring deliverance. Yes, sir. Amen. God allowed. Listen, that can't happen to you unless God allowed it. God allowed for, amen, Paul to be in prison. Him and Silas. And look what happened, right? Paul, God, a lot of times brings us in contact with folk because God wants to do something in folk, yes, sir. Right? And we're just the instruments of God. Exactly right, see? Amen. That's all. We're the instruments of God. And see, when we come in contact with folk and leave the presence of folk, we want their response and their memory amen, something of positivity. Yeah. Not you bunch of, oh my God. See? people come in contact with Christian folks and they leave like, Lord have mercy. They didn't make my situations better. Now, I'm not criticizing y'all, but I'm just talking. Right? I'm just trying to show us something. That shouldn't be the case if we look at it biblically. Right? Because, you know, they couldn't, you know, the people around Jesus, you know, the hypocrites and the religious people, they couldn't understand Jesus. You know, they would go back to the disciples. Your master always around these, you know, tax collectors and all these types of people. But they were sick. They were sick. They needed a physician. The world is sick. They need us. Huh? The world needs us. Right? Because we've been given the word. We understand the word. We understand what God wants done with his word. Right? Come on. Come on. Amen. And see, we don't want the patients to leave like, boy, that was a crazy doctor. Lord have mercy. Who was that? you know, this is my desire, right? Is that when God brings me in contact with folk, I can have a positive, right, attitude. Because sometimes our attitude ain't not right. Huh? And people be looking at you. Everybody's not crazy. Right? And people look at you. They say they was a Christian. Yeah. They always complaining. Yeah. They ain't never smiling. Right. If that's Christianity, they don't want none of it. Right. Huh? Come on. Come on. Now everybody, I know everybody's, God's a God of variety, and everybody ain't going to be giddy. Everybody ain't gonna be like Brother Garen. You know, some people are gonna be a little bit, you know, low key and everything. But we wanna find ourselves in a position where God can really use us, right? God used the Philippians church to benefit Paul in ministry. And you know, his when he thought about the church, man. He was grateful. He was thankful. It was something to smile about. Could you imagine, man, if, you know, Paul would have come in contact with this group of people and, you know, it wasn't good. I believe Paul would have been like, man, let me tell y'all something. Boy, y'all a terrible group of folk. Talking about representing the kingdom. That wasn't the case. Look at, you know, I like this. I like to look at little things like this. It might not mean nothing to y'all this morning, but it means a whole lot to me. I've been preaching on this for 4 services. Right? It means a lot because what it shows me, right, is it shows me the life of Christ in the church, and then it also shows me the life of Christ in an individual and the response. Right? Positive, responding positive, right? In a positive way. They responding positive by you know, support. Now, you got to go back and get the history now. I do a little bit of studying, right? But it's the support, right? Paul was looking at all of the things. And then, you know, Paul was looking at the fact that, okay, these guys were with me from the start, right? And here it is, you know, my present day situation, and they're still here. Come on. Y'all looking at me funny. Get a smile on your face, do something. Huh? Because see, sometimes people say, boy, that's my ride and die. Ride or die. That's the, you know, the colonial term. Ride or die. And as soon as you know, your circumstances and situations change. Right? You can't find, well, I'm a ride or die. Huh? You know? And we sing the song, yes, I'm going all the way, yes, to see him. And we be all about to fall out and everything. And as soon as something don't go our way. I'm going to leave this alone because I don't want to hurt nobody's feeling. You can't holler five folk. Huh? See, in the age and hour that we're living in, people want to, how can I say this? It's in my head, but it ain't going to come out my mouth right. A gospel that don't offend. Right? That ain't scriptural. Because we need change. I don't care how long you've been doing it. If it ain't right, it's just not right. Right? Come on. The work is good. And sometimes it takes God, you know, tearing us down. Right? In order to build us up according to the blueprint. Y'all heard the story of the time the fella, this contractor, he built the building. And he decided to do his own thing. Huh? He decided he do it his own way. And doing it this way will make the folk happy. When the people get there, they're looking at it like, what this? This is not what I paid for. And you don't know that unless you work in construction. Let me tell you something. Folk be funny about their money. Huh? Especially real rich folk. The people that we be working for, huh? The women be getting there and they be looking and the man be standing in the background be like, well, you in trouble. But she finna put it on you. Huh? Sometimes they be the hardest people to please. But he wanted to do the thing on his own and he had to tear it down. Right. See, and sometimes, you know, God has to tear us down. We got to be broken. Right? I'm grateful for it. I am what I am today by the grace of God. I realize, you know what, church? Listen, I ain't where I'm supposed to be at either. Can I be real with you? But I know the work is a good work. I know that. You cannot tell me, you know, Brother Johnson might be a better person than me. Right? But the same God that started the work in him started the work in me, and the work is good.
Amen.
Huh? And this one thing I know, the work will be completed. Huh? The work gonna be completed. I'll be all right. Tell yourself, just say it just like I said. I do things purposely. Just tell yourself, I'll be all right. Because the work is a good work. Huh? Sometimes even young people, you got to tell yourself, we're full of mistakes, especially young people. They're trying to grow, they're trying to mature, they're trying to find themselves. But you got to know that the work is a good work. Huh? The work is a good work. And you may not be your daddy, but the work is a good work. And you young ladies may not be your mama, but the work is a good work. Being confident. The thing that he started, he'll perform it. Right? One or two more scriptures, and I'll let you go. Y'all all right? I ain't going to keep y'all all day. But I feel good this morning. I don't feel like I got nowhere yet, but that's how I do. But he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Look at the response. His response to a life, to a character, to partnership. Could you imagine being in, I'm going to leave this alone, Jesus. You be in relationship and partnership, right? And it's like time to make the donuts. You can't hardly stand one another. Oh, Lord God, I got to go home. You was happy till you realize you got to go home. Huh? Y'all don't get quiet now. I know I'm starting to meddle. Right? What kind of response is that to Christianity? to Christians. You see, church, people don't think things through a lot of times, right? Amen. Everybody, did God lead me? Yeah, God leads you by his word. If it don't lie, as far as I'm concerned, I'm crazy just like this. You can tell me blue cheese on the moon to go up there with some soda crackers and have yourself a ball. I'm not doing that because I know that's not the truth. Right? I've been pastoring now 20 years, and I realize I've seen things, I've heard things that people, but somebody I feel led. And then when I look at things by the word, I'll be like, it ain't him. I don't care what you tell me. I'll go for it. Just like the time that, you know, the man told Brother Branham that he felt led. God was sending him overseas and everything. And Brother Branham, all right, go on, Godspeed and all that. And then Billy Paul told him, like, well, Daddy, why you tell that man that? He told me. He didn't ask me. And most times people don't ask you your opinion. They tell you what they done already sat down and figured out. They just come and tell you what they're going to do. Whether you agree with it or don't agree with it. And the worst people to fuss with is those type of people. Well, go on, do it. If it work out, it was him. Most times it do not work out. Right? And you know it. But you just got to let folk do it. See? Partnership. But he says, I thank my God. He said, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy for your fellowship, right? The partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Right? See? And partnership. Y'all give me a second. I'm going to close in a minute. I hope y'all all right. Is a person who takes part in an undertaking with another or others, especially in a business or company, with shared risks and profits. See? People want to be partakers of the profits and the benefits. Huh? When you're struggling, when you're going through, I'm reminded of a story. You know, my wife, cousin Lynn, told us some years ago about it was this guy. He worked on Wall Street, and you know, he had a little money, educated and everything. You know, a lot of times those guys get them little trophy wives, you know, to make them look good, you know. And he had this young lady he was married to, and you know, they were doing good. She had the nannies and the BMW, the big house, and you know, maids and all of this kind of stuff. And man, she would, you know, find clothes and be on the man's arm at the big business parties and everything. And then the man lost his job. Huh? She was there for the profit. He lost his job, and he went to her. He said, honey, well, I lost my job. We got to kind of scale back. You know, you know, we might have to get rid of one of the cars, and, you know, your nanny, we might have to. That guy like, oh, no, that was not a part of the agreement. Huh? That was not part of the agreement. The agreement was, I be the trophy on your arms. You know, I have all of this. She left the man. She left the man with the children and went and got her another, amen, rich man. See? But she wasn't there for the risks and for the downfall. When a person, when he wasn't doing good, see? But then he came up, right? That's just like stock. Sometimes, you know, you might lose a little bit of something, but you got to hang on in there because it's going to rise back up again, right? But a lot of times, you know, people, you know, they want to be with you. They only want to be down with you, you know. You look at Demas. Demas wanted to hang out. Boy, I tell you, folk, after a while, he started looking at Paul like, wait a minute, Paul,
You sure God's still dealing with you? Huh? You sure God's still with you? You sure you a man of God? My God, you ain't got man, a man like you, a man of your caliber. You got one coat? You calling for one coat? My God. Huh? That's the position you in? Man. See, people will leave you. People will stay with you long as you're looking good and things looking good, you're riding good. But don't let something happen. Right. Do like they used to do in the Baptist church back in the day. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Huh? Who want? How could you have confidence in folk like that? Huh? You have to have, you know, let me tell you something. Can I preach for a minute? I'm going to go. A shepherd would want to have confidence in people that's going to be with him through the thick and the thin. Amen. Through his ups and through his downs. When he got a church full and when the folks start walking away. Right? As long as a man of God is preaching the word of God. We get caught up in family, friendship, and things of that nature. Everybody that start out with you don't mean they're going all the way with you. Is that right? Glory to God. Huh? Look, this morning, take a stand for the word of God. No matter who leads the Spirit of Truth Tabernacle, I'm here for the word of God. I'm here because of what I understand about the word of God. Friend may go. Co-workers may go. I remember one of the hardest decisions I had to make years ago. As a young convert, man, I was going to rapture and faith, and I had to make a decision. And Jack wasn't pastoring back then. Huh? I'm just going to say this. Y'all know me. I ain't scared. Huh? It was what it was. The situation was what it was. And I hated to leave because, man, all of our friends were there. Jimmy and Vernon, huh? Whole bunch of us. We had a nice little young group, right, Sister Tanya Troy? I mean, why we said, hey, we had a little group there. Huh? All us young people coming up, right? But God started dealing with me. I wanted to know more. I wanted to understand more. I didn't realize God was trying to get me into a place, amen, to put this microphone in my hand. I was set up and didn't know it. And the hardest thing it was to leave, I mean, man, I could tell Bert and Naomi and I mean, the list go on and on and on and on and on. It hurt my heart to have to leave the church, right? But I wasn't leaving the church because of anything personal or carnal, but for the word's sake, I was trying to get more understanding of what I had because I didn't understand. Now I realize that God has given us a great message. But I couldn't understand it. Go to conventions and hear folk talking about seven thunders give faith. We shun. Glory! Hallelujah! Then somebody come up. What's that? Christ. That's all we knew. We couldn't break nothing down back then. We were just a group of excited people. We didn't understand what Brother Branham's ministry was all about. Why God? Why we even needed a prophet? See? Why? Because we were so far off the word of God. Right? Yet religious. See? We needed to come back and line ourselves up with the word. God always sends a prophet when the people get away from the word of God to bring them back to the word of God. Because, see, you could be worshiping, this is a powerful statement, and worshiping God in vain. People don't believe that. When Jesus came on the scene, he said, in vain do you worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. See? And through denominationalism, from Catholicism right on down, a lot of, amen, doctrines, commandments of men, not biblical. Not biblical. See? You're not worshiping God. Cain wasn't no infidel. Cain worshiped, but his worship was not accepted. See? Amen. People don't even realize this morning they ain't worshiping God. Powerful statement, but it's a true one. Right? Amen. See? You got to come back to the word of God. That's why we needed a prophet, because people were in so much error. And that's why he took so much criticism. If you stay with the word of God, you're going to be hated. You're going to be hated. You'll be hated in your own home. Huh? You'll be put down in your own home amongst family people until something take place in them. That's the truth. Amen. See, I don't need a whole lot of people. I love the dumb brother, but I said, you know what? How can I help people and I can't help myself? Right? I couldn't help myself. And then I remember when God started dealing with Brother Jack. I was like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I had been gone for a little minute, right? And I remember there were times, he don't mind me saying, I remember time he don't even know sometimes. Sometimes we'd be in discussion, and boy, I'd be totally disagreeing, but I wouldn't fight with him, right? I'd say, you know what? I believe God going to bring him to it. And after a while, he'd come in. You know, brother, we were talking about something, said, you know what? I had that a little wrong then. I just smile at him, like, to say, I kind of knew that, but, you know, I knew it was going to take God. It's just going to take me to love you and pray for you. It was going to take God to open up your understanding to the scripture. Brother Bam said, you're going to understand it. Right? And now we're on the same page. We like right and left arms. Huh? Amen. See, he could have confidence, say, Brother Smiley, I need you to come take church for me. Don't worry about it. I got you, bro. Amen. Right? See? But God has brought him to this great understanding. And then I get to talking to people, and they be saying, boy, you know what Brother Jack preached? And we was over to the little meeting the other week, you know, that combined meeting. Boy, Brother Jack preached the house down. Brother Jack got to preaching on them fourth generations and everything. And I could watch them little theologians, they was quiet. Trying to figure out where he was going. He had already talked to me about it. I said, mm-hmm. Because sometimes, you know, folks think that they know it all. This is an inexhaustible message. When you think you know something, God will show somebody something that's beyond you. And you'll be like, oh, boy, I ain't even think about that one. Huh? That's why I tell my church, look, man, we're going to be learning way on the other side. Right? Come on. Church, don't come into this place and be sedentary. God is a big God. And God is able to blow your mind. Huh? Drop something up in here like an atomic bomb. Like, whoa, okay. Whoa. That should be our response sometimes. Whoa! Brother Jack, be preaching, be... You know, y'all scared with that. Whoa! Glory to God. Whoa! Yes! Huh? I tell you what, man. You know, Brother Brown talked about that coon dog. He said he ain't used to like to fool with them, you know them squirrels and stuff like that. Not the squirrel, but the what you call them? The, huh? Not the possum, the skunk. Boy, but he started petting him, revving him. You can do it, buddy. Get in. Boy, look at here. When you come in here and say, whoa, that'd be like, whoo. Man, get excited. Then you see God coming down from the channels of glory, just putting things in his mouth. Putting things in his mouth. See? Amen. Let me tell you something. You have a part to play. Right? Y'all partner, right? Y'all partners in this thing with Jack. It's your response. Y'all come in here sleepy and all that. All you're going to get is a bad dream. Huh? Come on. Church, we got to grow up and learn how to prioritize ourselves. Amen. Go to bed. Amen. Simple as that. Go to sleep. Sleep on your boss. Don't sleep on God. My goodness. We could be struggling and everything at work. Then come in church and just. Lord, have mercy. Man, I tell you, I love the Lord. Don't you just love him this morning? That's a lot I can say, but I ain't going to wear y'all out this morning. You know, I got to go to Lauderdale and visit my mama. I'm just being honest. I do. I got to go see my mama. She had an operation. But I appreciate being here this morning. Maybe Brother Jack can pick it up and make more sense out of it than me. I see things. I'm different. I study a different way. You know, it's so much. I was listening to something yesterday where Brother Branham was talking about not putting a comma behind what you believe. A period, I mean. Right? Amen. Because the message is, sometimes I think I'm still on the surface. Because this thing is profound. It really is. Amen. This books of the Bible, man, I know I haven't even touched. It just takes studying on them and being inspired by God, a letter of God. This is so rich. We should never, ever come here and be complacent. Time to make the donuts. Well, I'm here, Brother Jack. Lord have mercy. I'm going to say this. I remember during the time, let the musicians come. I remember the times back in the day we used to go to meetings, and man, the people be so charged. You could feel the charge in the air. And I'd be realistic. We weren't even getting full light on the word. We thought we were. Right? But the atmosphere and the expectation was so charged. Was so charged to, man, before you could feel it. You could sense it. The music be playing. And the people be, you could look at the people like, where the song leader, please come on. We can't hardly contain ourselves. And that's the way it's supposed to be. We so charged. The atmosphere is so charged. To y'all be like, looking at Brother Johnson like, I don't even know why you sitting there. It's time to get this thing on the road, buddy. I can't. Boy, I've been waiting on this moment. Huh? I've been waiting on this moment to get here. I'm excited. Man, I'm ready to pull. I'm ready to praise. I'm ready to shout. I'm ready to scream. Right? You know, I let me put this mic down. I don't know who I'm finna get this thing to, Brother Troy Deacon. But I'm gonna tell you something. Man, I listen to them tapes, and man, I hear people screaming, hollering, amening, glorifying God. What is happening to us? We're making this thing so theological. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, because I don't want to just be in an intellectual relationship. I want to be in a relationship, and I believe every woman can say amen to this. You want to be in a relationship where your husband knows it's time to throw his arms around you. It's time to say little sweet things to you. Amen. What kind of women in here tonight, this morning? I ain't heard nothing up in here. Lord have mercy. I guess the honey done gone from round the moon. It's just intellectual now. Huh? Okay, all right, y'all let me know something. I need to hear something. I need to hear you. Well, praise the Lord. She's smiling about it. Lord's smiling about it. Yes, Kenny, yes. Her remembrance, yes. And that's the way it should be about God. I enjoy the time when I come in and God just comes down and smother me, tell me how much he loved me. Throw his arms around me. I be boo-hooing and crying and thank you, Jesus. Oh, glory. I love you, Lord. Oh, God. Yeah. You like that, the preacher? Yes. Yes, it is. That's what relationships are supposed to be about. Anytime it's not that, something done went wrong. that right? I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. Let us all stand this morning. In what you hear, let it be.
God. Amen. Aren't you glad God is a God of variety? Amen. God bless you, Brother Willie. He only made one. Amen. It's precious to us all. We love you. Thank you for getting yourself out of the way and ministering the word of God to us. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Amen. God is God. Amen. We are in a partnership. Amen. So we must always pray for one another. Amen. Pray for our pastor. Pray for all of our ministering brothers. They need us at all times. Amen. They are a big target. They're a big target. They are the one who stands behind the sacred desk to bring the truth to us. And if God should ever, Satan should ever do something to them, where will we be? So we need them. They need us. Amen. It's good to realize that we are in a partnership. I was telling Brother Jack, I said, Brother Jack, you know, when you decided to go into full-time ministry, you did a big thing. To step away from a job, and then you went, decided to go full-time ministry. I said, when you made that decision, God start blessing your people. To meet your needs, God start blessing the people. We saw businesses rising up in this church, and we saw God just blessing the people in a special way because he decided to go into full-time ministry to go and pray and study to get the word that we needed so that we can grow to bring it here to feed the flock. It's a partnership. When he comes here, we got to pull what he's been studying out because we have need of it. We're all working together for a body change to see our Lord Jesus. So we pray for our pastor. Amen. Let's sing one more before we go. You're my brother, you're my sister. So take me by the hand. Together we'll work to Jesus.
Sing this one more time. Go ahead and step out and shake one another's hand and tell them God bless.
You're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. And there's no side, and as long as there is love, we will stand. And you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. And as long as there is love, oh, we will stand.
Come on, one more time.
Yes, you're my brother, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes. And there's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking side by side. And hallelujah.
Amen. You're invincible, invincible army saints. Come on, sing it one more time.
Oh, you're my sister, so take me by the hand. Together we will work until he comes.
Hey, there's no foe.
Oh, when we're walking side by side, and as long as there is love, we will stand. There's no foe that can defeat us when we're walking. other side. And as long as there is love, we will, amen, there's no foe that can defeat us. There's no foe that can defeat us. We will walk in side by side. And as long as there is love, we will stand. Almighty God, there's no other people I would love to stand with than the army of God, the household of God, the saints of the Most High God, Lord. For we're all fortified behind the word, Lord. We have taken this great sword, Father, the word of God. In our lives, Lord, we have cut many demons, Lord. We have prayed ourselves through and prayed for our brothers, cutting demons off of them, Lord. And we're so grateful that we can bring our licks of fire together to create an atmosphere, Lord. Singing the songs of Zion, that your presence can come down and you can speak freely amongst your people, Lord. And there are receptive hearts, Lord, ready to believe. Father, we're so grateful, Lord God, that you sent Brother Willie. Father, we ask, oh God, that you would be with him, keep him, protect him. May he stay encouraged, oh God. Oh, Father, we pray for his mother that had this procedure done, oh God. We ask, oh God, that your mighty hand will be upon her to touch her, Lord God. Father, we pray for our brother and sisters, Lord, that come, Lord, from Canada and Trinidad, Lord God. We ask that you bless their visit and their time of fellowship here, Lord. May you grant traveling mercies to them, Lord, as they go back, Lord, their way, Lord, to their respective places. Lord, we ask, oh God, that you will bless them indeed, Lord. We thank you for them gracing us with their presence, Lord, bringing their licks of fire and putting it right along with ours, Lord. Father, we're going to spend eternity together, Lord. We're so grateful for these times, Lord. Lord, if we can't enjoy these times, we won't enjoy heaven, because we're going to be praising you there. And Lord, let the praise begin, Lord, in our souls, Lord. May revival fires, Lord, continue to burn, Lord, until our body change. We love you, Father. Thank you for the word of life. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for precious brothers and sisters. We ask, oh God, that you give us all traveling mercies as we leave this place. May your presence forever abide with us, Lord. Bring our pastor and our brothers and sisters back home safely. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you, saints. You may have your seats, and our brothers will come and dismiss you at this time. Amen. It's good to have you. Had you here. God bless you.